السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. محمد رسول الله، والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم، تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, I recited a portion of the verse of Surah Fatah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about the qualities and the sifat and the attributes of the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. After having declared that Muhammadur Rasulullah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the messenger of Allah ta'ala. In this world we can have many reformers, we can have many commanders of armies, we can have many generals of armies, we can have many administrators, we can have many people who are in the highest position in the land, in the government. All that we can have. But we cannot have, or we cannot appoint, or we cannot nominate, or we cannot elect, or we cannot select a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. We can't appoint somebody and say he is Rasulullah. Can we say that? No matter how brilliant, how clever, how intelligent, and how much of qualifications and degrees and how much of expertise he has, and no matter how much of wisdom he has, and how much of ability in administration and management and reformation, then nobody can say that he is messenger of Allah Ta'ala. Only Allah Ta'ala has got the right to appoint his own messenger. And Allah Ta'ala appointed those messengers. They came to this world. The last of all of them, in the coming to this world, was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The finality of the prophethood of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we have to believe in, otherwise the person's iman is incomplete, or the person is not even a Muslim and a believer. The person has to have iman on the finality of the prophethood of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So in the coming to this world, we will say that he was last. He was the final messenger. But as far as the creation is concerned, he was the first. The first thing that was created was the nur of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Awwal, the first. Khalaqallahu nuri. First thing that Allah Ta'ala created was my nur. So as far as messengers of Allah Ta'ala are concerned, it is only Allah Ta'ala's choice. Therefore, when Allah Ta'ala says that he is my messenger, so he is not a reformer. We will say that he brought about many, many reforms. But the world today wants to present Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as just a reformer. And if we are going to accept just a reformer, then we will say that as the time changes, when the time changes, then the person who is a reformer, he will have to also change his strategies, he will have to change his direction, his nasihat. The person who is doing reformation in the first century, then he can't do the same thing again in the second century and third century and 14th century. 15th century. We will say as the time goes on, there will be a need for new reformers. And those new reformers will now look at the situation. They will look at the society in which they are working. And then they will bring about reformation. So they will say that now because there is a need for lots of things that the world has already accepted as permissible, and not only permissible, but they don't even consider anything as obscene and shameless and indecent anymore. So the new reformer now will make a lot of concessions and changes and things like that. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So we will have a new jurisprudence in every century, in every time, and in every age and climate. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not a reformer of that kind. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't only bring about changes for his people there, and after that when he passed away, then Islam was no more applicable or not able to move with the times, as we say. Islam couldn't move with the times. Na'uzu billah, there was no such thing. Islam was perfect and will remain perfect till the day of Qiyamah. The jurists of the time, if there is some issue that is new in the society, then in the light of the same Quranic verses, the same ayat, the same hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the light of the jurisprudence that already exists, then they will give some kind of solution to the problem. But they will not come up with any new ayat of the Quran Sharif or new fabricated hadith to solve a new problem. There is no need for a new hadith Sharif or a new ayat to solve a new problem. Whatever kind of problem, there will always be the solution in the same Quran Sharif and hadith Sharif. So unfortunately, when it comes to the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there are many orientalists, there are many others also, many scholars, so-called scholars. Nowadays, everybody is a scholar. Although most of the time, their collar under that, there's a lot of dirt. That means there are lots of ideologies under those collars of those scholars, which are not Islamic. But so-called scholars, they are propagating this kind of message that we need some kind of progressive Islam, as I mentioned in my Jummah Bayan, that look at what is happening now. Progressive Islam, where sometimes the male makes namaz, sometimes the female makes the namaz. Men and women stand shoulder to shoulder. Sometimes the woman gives the Jummah khutbah and bayan, and sometimes the male person gives the Jummah khutbah and bayan. And in many, many other things, we are talking about progressive. Islam is progressive. There is no such thing as a person cannot make progress if he follows Islam, Sharia, Quran and Sunnah. This is what I can't understand, that on the one hand, these same scholars, they talk about the glorious rule of Islam, the glorious days of Islam. The days in which Islam shone and where people were coming into Islam, flocking into Islam, flooding into Islam, entering into Islam in large numbers, large numbers. And how the conquest took place and how the Muslims were ruling over such vast territory and how the Muslims were the leaders in all the different fields. Now, which Muslims were leaders in all those fields? In the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, was anyone tolerated if he was not making namaz? But he was a great scholar, a great Muslim scholar, brilliant, great amount of scientific knowledge of that time. But only thing that he doesn't make namaz, he doesn't come to the masjid, he doesn't follow the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings. He's brilliant in that field. Was he ever tolerated in those days? Or Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala would have whipped that person. So we talk about the glorious days of Islam. Which were the glorious days? Those were the glorious days. Now look at how hard, as we say, very hard, when it comes to namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, dealings. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala went into the bazaar and asked them some maslas, some questions with regards to trade. He asked the masalas with regard to trade. And if the person did not know, said, close your shop, first go and learn, then open shop. Now that was the glorious days of Islam. Will any of our businessmen tolerate that today? We all talk about Khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and the Khulafa'i Rashideen, and we say the Ummah requires Khilafat. Will anybody listen to our Khalifa? If we have to have one Amirul Mumineen, who will listen to him? So this is the sad part, that we take everything out of context. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not just a reformer. He was a messenger of Allah Ta'ala. And he was Sayyidul Anbiya wa Rusul. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had ta'eed ghaybi, as we say. Allah Ta'ala's nusrat, help, assistance, his madad. It was not a question of he used to say something after having thought over it, pondered over it, and then come to some conclusion by himself, and then just felt that that is the right thing to say, so therefore he said it. It was not like that. He made mashwara, he had consultation with the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran Sharif, that when you have decided, إِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَمْتَ. In any case, that's a different subject now. So he did have consultation and everything. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala declared in the Quran Sharif, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَى. Nothing out of his own whim and fancy, nothing. Whatever he said, it was wahi. It was in his words, but that was the inspiration that came. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not like an ordinary reformer that who looks at the society and then says, well, take them in this line or that line. I explained once that if you have a policeman who is very thin, weak, but is a policeman, and is standing in the center of the street, and as the traffic is passing, so now he raises his hand and stops the traffic. So that person looks at the policeman and says that this policeman doesn't look really big size. Doesn't look jumbo size. Or doesn't look like one of our wrestlers or boxers. He just looks like a thin, ordinary police. So why should I listen to him when he goes past? So what does he do? They say he calls for backup. That small thin person calls for backup now. So one, two button he presses and then suddenly there's a squad of cars that are coming. Why? Because this chap saw the police. He thought he's a thin, ordinary, simple person. What can he do? So he saw him. So now this man with the backup, now he's got a squad of cars that have come. Why? Because this person was working for that government and all these people are working for that same government. The correctional services, where they don't make much corrections nowadays. So the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, it was not what their height was, or what their body weight was, or what their worth was with regards to finance and wealth and other such things. They were the messengers of Allah Ta'ala. So therefore they turned toward Allah Ta'ala. Look at Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, finally when he got tired of them, he made dua. رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا إِنَّكَ إِنْ تَذَرْهُمْ يَظِلُّوا عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam made baddua for them, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala destroyed them. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made tabligh, carried on and on and on. Finally, made baddua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepted it, and Allah ta'ala destroyed Fir'aun and his whole party. They got drowned. Every Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So in our language you will say that that was the backup. Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat, Allah Ta'ala's power, Allah Ta'ala's might, Allah Ta'ala's forces, Allah Ta'ala's military. They called on Allah Ta'ala that now you use your force, your might, your power. So the Nabis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala are not ordinary reformers. What can the reformer do? How much power does he have? Yeah, it was the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Look at the power that Allah Ta'ala gave. That in the battle of Badr, they are 313 and they rout a whole army of 1,000 armed to the teeth. That's the power. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sent the angels. 3,000 according to one ayat and 5,000 the other. So therefore we should not just look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as just any ordinary simple reformer. Because then they will say now he reformed a society of his time and this is how they think and this is how they work. That he reformed a society of his time. They were engaging in this sin, that sin and he reformed them. Finish. But in his time they did not have such kind of scientific instruments and technology and all the modern day technology they didn't have. So now it needs another reformation, somebody else to reform the present day society. So they create a space for a new Nabi. That is what this Qadianis do. They create space that now there is a need, there is still a need for another Nabi. There was a need and that's where they bring up Ghulam Mirza of Qadian, who himself said the Wahi comes to him. Like how Wahi came to the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So this Mirza said that Wahi also comes to him. And of course he has written a lot of trash, but in any case it is Wahi that was coming to him. So it must come through some angel. So he said the name of his angel who is to bring Wahi was Tichi Tichi. I think because that angel was teaching him, so he kept his name Tichi Tichi. Now can there be an angel like that Tichi Tichi? And he says he brings Wahi in English also. He brought Wahi in English also to him. So we continue with what we were discussing last week on the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which was the real sword that won over so many enemies and so many people into Islam. The real sword was akhlaq. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu se riwayat hai ki aap haya ki wajah se kisi ki aankhon mein aankhein nahi dalte the. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu se riwayat hai ki aap sabse badhkar dil ke kushada, baat ke sachche, tabiyat ke naram, muasharat mein nihayat kareem the. Now we are discussing some of the beautiful qualities, attributes, characteristics of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who were not here must pick up the tape last week's. We are not going to go through the whole thing again. But tonight we discuss this one hadith sharif of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an from this very beautiful kitab Nashr-ut-Tweeb fi zikri Nabi al-Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Mujaddid al-Millat Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. Look at that. Love for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The whole kitab is full of ishq and love and muhabbat for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the one who has narrated this hadith sharif. And he says, Aap sallallahu alayhi wasallam sabse badhkar dil ke kushada, baat ke sachche, tabiyat ke narm, muasharat mein nihayat kareem the. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very, very polite, very gentle. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his talk, in his speech also there was politeness. I'm just giving you the gist and the meaning. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very, very noble, very kareem, very generous, very kind. As we discussed in the other ahadith last week. Very hospitable, very, very generous, very large-hearted, very forgiving, very affectionate, very compassionate and very merciful. Now these were the sifat, these were the things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam transferred into the sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Ashidda'u ala al-kuffar, ruhama'u baynahum. That's what we so compassionate, so merciful, so kind and so forgiving and so loving. That is what brought people into Islam. As I said, that for each characteristic of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there are so many incidents which inshallah, if Allah ta'ala gives life, then we'll take each item and give you an incident or two. But first I just want to go through it. What? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very, very polite. So much so that some people irritated him, agitated him, and they said things which would have really hurt. And if they had to tell us things like that, then our temperatures will rise, our fuses will blow. Over little things we lose our tempers. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on one occasion, what can I do now? The incident is coming, I will mention it, as I thought later we'll discuss it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting and a few Jews came. Now these Jews, that was their mizaj and nature from that time. So these Jews came and they said, Assalamu alaikum. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they said, Assalamu alaikum. Death be upon you. But the way they said it, Assalamu alaikum. I will think that the person said, Assalamu alaikum. But in the meantime, they're saying, Assalamu alaikum. May death be upon you. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha from behind the curtain, because his house was a small 2x2 house and he was attached to that, was a masjid. So she could hear from behind the curtain what was happening. When she heard, immediately she responded, Assalamu alaikum wal la'na. May death be upon you and la'nat also, curse of Allah ta'ala. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Aisha, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is very merciful and very, and He loves politeness. So you should not have responded like that. Now here they are, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam knew what they said. They are cursing Him. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam instead is telling us that Aisha, then no, you shouldn't say like that. Because Allah ta'ala is merciful and He does not like response of this kind, in other words. Allah ta'ala loves politeness. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved wife of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, didn't you hear what they told you? Didn't you hear? What did they say? They said, Assalamu alaikum. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I'm giving you the gist of the Hadith Sharif, he responded. He said, what did I say in reply? See, in reply I said, Wa alaikum. That's all. They said, Assalamu alaikum. So I said, Wa alaikum. Wa alaikum. Finish. Wa alaikum means that whatever you have said, upon you too. He said, I didn't say, Wa alaikum assalam. Did he say, Wa alaikum assalam? He said, I just said, Wa alaikum. So their baddua and curse for me will not be accepted. But mine, which I just said, and upon you too, that will be accepted. But see how nicely, politely he gave a reply, where he said what he had to say, but without losing himself, and without displaying characteristic of those who become terribly angry and disgusted, and they want to take out their anger and revenge. Nothing. Nicely he just said that and finished. There are so many incidents of that kind. Inshallah, we'll come to incidents later. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu se riwayat hai ki aap sabse badhkar dil ke kushada, baat ke sachche, tabiat ke naram. Very, very soft nature. Very humble, very polite. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, any person that came close to him was attracted by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's beautiful characteristics. His akhlaq, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. You are on the highest pedestal of sublime character, the highest if there is some pedestal. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is on the highest level. Look at all the ashar, all the naat sharifs everyone composes when they talk about the character of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But this is a from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who is the creator of human beings, of jinn, of this universe and everything else. Now Allah Ta'ala is certifying. Allah Ta'ala is giving that certification that you are on the highest pedestal of sublime character. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We did not send you but as a mercy unto the world. Mercy for all the worlds, as we have discussed many times. Mercy for the young, for the old, for the black, for the white, for the sick, for the strong, for the king, for the citizens, for the rich, for the poor, for everybody. So much so that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was even mercy for the kuffar, for the mushrikeen, for the yahood, for the nasara, for the disbelievers. Then too, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a mercy. How was he a mercy? That he came and informed them that if you have to follow this path, then you will go to Jannah. Then you will enjoy the best of this world and the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala has created all these ni'mats and bounties for you in Jannah. If you have to obey, listen. If you have to accept Islam and follow me, obey me. So then you will go to Jannah and enjoy the best. So now if somebody informs a person and tells him that this is a good investment and this is a bad investment, so isn't he a rahmat and a mercy? Now if that person chooses the bad investment, then there's his problem there. But the person who directed him and guided him to that path in which there was benefit for the person, so he's a rahmat and mercy for that person. Others want to know, how can he be a mercy for them? That's how he was a mercy for them, that he told them that if you do these things, you'll go to paradise. And if you do these things and you don't believe and you stay in kufr and shirk and all that, then you'll go to hellfire. So now he went out of his way, he sacrificed everything so that these people may accept Islam and go to Jannah. So was he not a great rahmat and mercy for them? But if they didn't accept, then whose problem is that? The title that he was given was Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Allah Ta'ala gave him that title. Therefore that beautiful Naat Sharif, which from madrasa days in our childhood, we were taught. Wo nabiyon mein rahmat laqab paane wala, murade gharibo ki bar laane wala. Wo nabiyon mein rahmat laqab paane wala, murade gharibo ki bar laane wala. Musibat mein ghairo ke kaam aane wala, wo apne paraye ka gham khane wala. Wo nabiyon mein rahmat لقب پانے والا مراد غریبوں کی برلانے والا مصیبت میں غیروں کے کام آنے والا وہ اپنے پرائے کا غم کھانے والا. نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام Sometimes we say that we wish we were in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam so that we could have seen him, we could have been in his company, so that we could have learned from him, and we could have also imbibed like the sahaba e kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in. But I have stated what our Kabir has said. Hazrat Mujaddidi Millat rahmatullah alayhi, I think he said, so that if we were born in his time, we would have still been the same, like what we are today. Our mizaj and our nature would have been the same. Although Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have been amongst us, but let us be honest, would we have really changed our lives drastically? Would we have been like the sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum ajma'in? Or would we have been like Ubay, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the munafiq number one? With all the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that we have, that we can't bring about a change and reformation in our lives. What would have been our condition if he had been present and we would have been recognized as real hypocrites? No sincere tawbah engaging in all the same sins and vices and evils of the kuffar, mushrikeen, Yahud and Nasara engaged. Look at this 2010 football thing that's coming now. Number of Muslims, the kind of tickets that they are buying and the prices that they are buying and the talk of football, football, football. It is as if some kind of Hajj is going to take place, na'uzubillah. Muslims all around. So many of them. It's nothing but football, football. If cricket comes, then it's the same. Now what have we really got to do with it? And then we ridicule those people and we mock and tease those people who don't show much interest in this football business. As if they are not good Muslims. If that person is not showing any interest, then we say that what kind is this person? They don't want to have any kind of entertainment, no fun, no enjoyment in their lives. Now who stopped from enjoyment and fun and entertainment? It is just like saying that the person, if he is reading Surah Baqarah in his ruku, and we say that no, in ruku you must not read Surah Baqarah. You must read Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. So the person says, I'm reading Surah Baqarah, which is 2.5 paras, and you got in problem with that. So now he goes around saying that, Maulana is stopping me from reading Quran Sharif. So will that be correct? If he goes around and says, Maulana is stopping me from reading Quran Sharif, then what will we say? He will say, not stopping you from reading Quran Sharif, he's stopping you from reading it in the wrong place. That's what he's stopping you. So like that, if we say, no, these ulamas are stopping us from entertainment, they're stopping us from happiness and joy, they're stopping us from a little bit of fun and laughter. Now, are they stopping from that? There's so much avenues for that. I always say, eat good food, drink with your friends, laugh, joke, be happy, be cheerful. Nobody said it's doom and gloom all the time. And within the parameters of Sharia, there are so many things that a person can enjoy. If we really want enjoyment, whereas the real enjoyment is in the Akhirah, but even in this world, Allah Ta'ala made so many things permissible for us so that we can enjoy. Otherwise Allah Ta'ala would have prohibited even marriage. Then with friends, if a person is having some braai, or is going swimming, or is going fishing, or is doing something that is permissible, who stopped us from that? As long as we are doing it in the proper place and doing it within the parameters of Sharia. So this football thing that is now a craze, and it's like a countdown, this and that. Look at what is happening in Haiti. Look at what happened in Chile. Look at what happening in other parts of the world. Look at the storms, and look at the rainfall, and look at the earthquakes, and look at the tremors, and look at the gale force winds, and look at the destruction. Look how the trucks are just picked up and dumped like little toys, and how the trees are uprooted, and how buildings are coming down, crashing on their heads. And not only in non-Muslim countries, look at what happened in Jeddah. Where did we hear so many people dying in floods in Jeddah? This is the first time in so many 100 years, and so many time in, first time in 50 years, and so many, first time in so many years. Every part of the world that something is happening, now they're saying that first time in 100 years, after 100 years first time, for so many years then first time. So are these not all eye openers for us? Of course we will help whoever is suffering some kind of sickness, pain, or they got crushed, or they broke their bones, or they're suffering from other difficulties after those earthquakes, then it is the duty of the Muslim to help. And all those who help will be rewarded. But is that the only lesson that we take from there? So who knows what is going to happen? Is it in our control? Who knows what is going to happen? So let us not openly disobey Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Allah Ta'ala. A person accidentally commits a sin, is it? Makes sincere tawbah, Allah Ta'ala forgives. But when a person is proud and arrogant and he wants to commit the sin openly, and not only commit the sin openly, but he also wants to brag about his sins, and those people who are not participating in that sinful act, then he condemns them, rejects them, criticizes them, mocks them. Then we must remember the same thing which I said in the beginning, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Their backup was Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His forces. So we don't know that which person after that along the line, some Allah wala they may criticize and ridicule and mock and tease, and then Allah wala raises His hand and makes some kind of baddua and curse which they don't normally do. But we don't know. Everybody is not the same. Some people have got a different temperament. And then what can happen? Allah Ta'ala must protect us. So the best thing is to stay away from those things. But if a person, due to his own weakness, he cannot seem to stay away, so then at least he must not criticize, mock, ridicule, laugh. These places are places of fitnas. These are the fitnas of the time. It's not sport anymore, is it sport now? Look at what happened in the name of sport. But these are fitnas of the time. Irrespective of who it may be, but these fitnas of the time. We just get carried away. Look at all the sinful things that are accumulated. There's a conglomeration, as they say, of everything. I can't forget this word conglomeration. Because once when I wrote an essay, then my English teacher put there, your essay is a conglomeration of disjointed facts. So it seems from that time I'm used to disjointed facts. So what we discuss and where we go, it may be disjointed, but afterwards we must join it. As long as we join our hearts with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then what does it matter if the facts were disjointed? And there was no tartib, they said tartib, you want rabt, a connection you. Ah, my dear brothers, it is so sad that some of the brothers want to take the sisters also. They're buying tickets abundantly even for the sisters. That means their mothers, their sisters, their wives, and many of them for the mistresses. Make sure everybody. Hum to dube hai sanam tujhe bhi leke dubenge. I have drowned, but why must you stay? I'm going to make you drown with me too. That's what they are saying. Why should we go to Jahannam alone? You must also accompany us. Let us not be so negligent and so in so much of ghaflat. And let us not challenge the might of Allah Ta'ala. When a person does sins openly and brags about it, and thereafter criticizes and ridicules and mocks those people who are abstaining from it, then that's a direct challenge to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Those people, whether they do anything or don't do anything, but Allah Ta'ala is directly challenged. But because Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim and is very, very tolerant, He is Haleem, therefore Allah Ta'ala's system is that He gives a rope, He gives a chance, He gives some time, that this bandha of mine must come back. Look at Allah Ta'ala's love for His bandhas and His servants. That this person made a mistake, he must come back. Give him some chance, he makes tawbah and come back. He may give some charities and Allah Ta'ala will forgive something if Allah Ta'ala gives a time. But when the person goes on, then he doesn't know when it is going to strike. Of course, in that disaster, after that, there'll be the good and the bad, everybody suffers. But for the good, after that, Allah Ta'ala will reward them on the sabr or give them the best of the akhirat if they passed away. But for the others, it'll be an azab of a magnitude that they will be shocked beyond belief. Look at all these disasters there. Magnitude that is beyond belief. Everybody happy and enjoying themselves and listening to music, and somebody in a cinema, somebody in a theater, somebody in a disco, somebody committing adultery and fornication, somebody is watching all the filth on the porn sites, and that shake up and the person is gone, finished. Never to rise again, is gone. In that same state. So what if that person was in adultery, fornication, or watching some haram? Or he was in the places of fitna and haram, and that earth beneath their feet was shaken by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with His Qudrat and power, then which stadium can stand that shake up? I'm not saying it's going to happen. All I'm saying is that let us not challenge Allah Ta'ala's might. If we have friends, we have family members who are encouraging, then talk to them politely, nicely, advise them. But if they are arrogant, stubborn, and they don't want to listen, then part your way nicely. But don't join them. Just to please them, don't join them. Don't say that, how am I going to take all this criticism in my family? I am like one person, one out, sitting like an outcast. When they are discussing these issues, and they are saying, I bought this, and I bought so many, and I bought so many. And you people are all orthodox and giving all kinds of titles to them. How am I going to tolerate this? Look at the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Which title they did not give to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Which title they did not give to him? What can be worse than? Do they throw stones at us? Did any family member say that because you're not buying tickets, therefore I'm going to throw stones at you? I'm going to shatter your teeth like the teeth of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. I'm going to put a spear through you, as was done for Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala when he was performing the Fajr Salah. Or did somebody say that we are going to stone you to death? Or we are going to assassinate you? As was in the case of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala and the 70 shuhada. They wrote the history of Islam with their blood. They gave their lives. And we can't give up. Or we can't take a little bit of criticism. Then what is the purpose of attending all majalis and all programs and say we can't take criticism? So my respected brothers and also our sisters are listening. Let us not be the cause of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab descending. Program was announced plus minus 45 minutes. So that plus can now go on till midnight. That's a very clever way of putting it, plus minus. So there'll never be a minus. The plus then carries on and on and on. It's a pain of the heart. Darde dil ki kahani hai.
बुलबुल कुत तू कर रही नादा पाबंद सुकूत और खामोशी बुलबुल कुन तू कर रही नादा पाबंद सुकूत और खामोशी जब उनको चमन याद आएगा फरियाद भी लबों पर आएगी.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اے رب کریم اے رب کریم اے بلاول اللہ اے رحیم اللہ اے کریم اللہ. How long are we going to walk on the surface of this earth as hypocrites and munafiqs? My beloved Allah, we are tired. We are tired of sinning. We are tired of disobedience. Hum apne wahshi dil se khud aajiz aa gaye. Shaitan and nafs are dragging us. Shaitan and nafs have chained us and are pulling us. My beloved Allah, with your power of just pull us towards you. Take us in the path that leads to you. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. We ourselves have experienced no happiness, no peace, no contentment and satisfaction in sins. Sins haven't brought any person satisfaction. The more the sin a person commits, the more he will want to commit. My beloved Allah, sukoon, peace, tranquility is only in your obedience and the obedience of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Whatever life is gone, We cannot bring back a single second from that life. We know what our eyes have seen in the years of life that we have spent. We know how much of disobedience our tongues have been engaged in. How much of haram we have listened with our ears. How much of sins we have committed with our hands and with our feet, our heart and our mind. But my beloved Allah, tonight we ask you for forgiveness of all sins. Hamari zindagi ka hal badal de. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de. Mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de. Khuda ya fazl farma dil badal de. Bless us with the best of dunya and akhir. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove the difficulties. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have children, my Allah, make those children nek, salih, obedient to you and your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give the parents the tawfiq and the himmat to remove from the homes and the lives all those things that cause corruption in the lives of the children. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam begged for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. Remove the pain, the suffering of mankind around the globe. Wherever disasters have struck Haiti, Chile and other parts of the world. Allah unki mushkilat ko dur farma. Afiyat naseeb farma. Be-imano ko iman naseeb farma. Musalmano ko. مومنین کو یا اللہ ایمان کے اندر قوت نصیب فرما یا اللہ bless us with برکت in our lifetime the اجتماع that is going to take place make it successful تیرے راہ میں نکلنے والوں کو قبول فرما عافیت اور سلامتی کے ساتھ اجتماع کو تکمیل تک پہنچا دے یا اللہ خان کا مدارس مساجد سب کو قبول فرما ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين